In September 1778, British flags appeared on the ridge across the Kentucky River from Boonesboro, marking the arrival of around 400 Shawnee and other warriors under Blackfish, 40 to 50 Canadian militia, a British trader, and Pompey. Oddly, French Canadians were among the militia flying a French flag, apparently not knowing France had signed an alliance with the Americans 7 months earlier. The fort had only 60 fighters. 3 days of talks ended with the natives trying to capture the town's negotiators, including Boone, but they were ready. All got back to the fort as both sides commenced firing and the siege of Boonesboro began. The stockade provided limited protection because of hills on both sides of the river. Jemima, busy running supplies to the fighters, took a minor wound in the butt from a bullet. Boone supposedly took down a native sniper from 260 yards away. After 8 days and numerous failed attempts to burn the fort, the attackers drifted away. Only two Kentuckians were killed, including an enslaved man called London, who died exchanging shots with a warrior. Boone thought at least 37 Native Americans were killed, and Pompey. However, Boone was court-martialed on charges of surrendering the salt expedition, plotting to surrender Boonesboro during his captivity, and two other charges. He was acquitted on all four. Proof he was no Tory or loyalist comes in an unusually profane, for him, letter to Rebecca sent before the siege. God damn them that had set the Indians on us. Despite this, Boone may have been neutral about the Revolutionary War. He made no reference to it or the day's politics to his first biographer, stating he felt no animosity toward the British. Draper's editor says, Boone and his kinsmen were charitable toward the British and were not rabid secessionists. Many of Rebecca's kin were loyalists, including Tory Colonel Samuel Bryan, her uncle. There were suggestions at the time Boone kept going to Kentucky to avoid the war. Obviously, he fought British allies, but he surely would have done the same had patriot-leaning Native Americans attacked Boonesboro. Soon after the trial, Boone came back to the cabin uphill to retrieve his family. Rebecca resisted, but Daniel prevailed. In 1779, he led what became the largest wagon train yet along Boone's trace, joined by his brother Nettie. Still smarting from his court-martial, Daniel moved the Boones a few miles north of the town named for him with other families to what became known as Boone's Station. They survived a hard winter, featuring deep snow for months that killed off game and livestock and blocked resupply. Boone began surveying land and dealing in real estate for himself and others. On a trip to Williamsburg, Virginia, to register claims the next year, $20,000 of investor money was stolen from him in a tavern while he slept, possibly drugged by the landlord. He spent years repaying in land those who did not believe it was taken. Through all this, the Kentuckians continued to fight off warrior attacks, so they launched an invasion of the Ohio country with 1,000 men, including Boone and Nettie. The Shawnees made a stand that the militia won at great cost, probably 40 dead. On the way home, Boone and Nettie were ambushed while hunting. Nettie was killed, and Daniel barely escaped. After Kentucky was divided into three Virginia counties in 1780, Daniel was elected sheriff, a lieutenant colonel in the militia, and his county's delegate to the state legislature. When it met the next year in Charlottesville, many delegates were captured by Lieutenant Colonel Banastre Tarleton's British Legion. Boone was among them and apparently held in a coal shed. He was probably paroled like others, but some of his haters viewed his being freed as another sign of loyalist leanings. After a massacre of more than 90 Native American Moravians in Ohio, an army of 300 to 500 natives from six nations, plus 50 Canadian militia, moved south in 1782. Around 180 Kentuckians responded, including Boone and his son Israel. A mile from where the salt boilers had surrendered, they spotted warriors atop a hill. Boone warned of a trap. The other officers ignored his warnings, one even accusing him of cowardice. The normally self-controlled Boone lost his temper and agreed to go. The uphill attack was a disaster, with at least 43 militia killed in 5 to 15 minutes of fighting. The Boone stayed behind to protect the retreat, and Israel was wounded. Daniel carried him off, put him down to shoot a warrior following them, and turned back to watch Israel die. The Battle of Blue Licks is considered the last true battle of the American Revolution. For the rest of his life, Boone blamed himself for getting angry and thus, in his mind, getting his son and the other men killed. The following year, he told his life story to a former schoolteacher writing a history of Kentucky. His autobiography made Boone a living legend across America and Europe at age 50. Go to War's End Brings Little Peace and click its audio clip.